The title of this album, the concept, the idea, came to me when I read a quote from Georgia O'Keeffe. She wrote these words in a letter. "I want real things, live people to take hold of, to see and talk to, music that makes holes in the sky. I want to love as hard as I can."
That's pianist Laura Downs. Her new recording is called Holes in the Sky, and she has some pretty incredible women collaborating with her on this new release. It's New Classical Tracks this week from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. Laura, let's talk about this new recording that you just released called Holes in the Sky. The title comes from a Georgia O'Keeffe quote. I wonder if you have that quote in front of you.
It's from a letter that she wrote to her best friend when she was still quite young. She was a young woman. She was sort of coming into herself, I think, and envisioning her future. And she wrote these words in a letter. "I want real things, live people to take hold of, to see and talk to, music that makes holes in the sky. I want to love as hard as I can." And I think that, you know, in her life, she did accomplish all those things. But those words just really struck me and made me start thinking about the potential of music to make holes in the sky. And I think especially the power and the potential of female creativity and the way that, you know, we envision it for ourselves.
What do you think she meant by music that makes holes in the sky?
I'm not sure, honestly. I think she's referring to, you know, just art and music and the possibility as an artist of, you know, blowing things open. I'm not sure why she refers to music there. It's sort of a mystery, but to me, it, you know, resonated in a very real and literal way.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she put it there for a future generation.
Right. Knowing her.
I do love that you say it's a privilege to pay tribute to the women who have preceded us, those pioneers, those women who dared to want real things, to reach into the sky. Tell me about how you selected those women who appear on this recording.
There were some really obvious ones. Track one starts in a very obvious place for me. Florence Price, who, you know, as you know, is a composer I've been involved with for some time and was certainly a pioneer as an African-American woman writing in the 1930s, the first Black woman ever to have her music performed by a major symphony orchestra in this country. You know, and there were so many firsts as I went through this project and started selecting music and pulling in artists and composers. There are so many firsts, right? And as women, you know, that's very much part of our legacy. So Florence Price, Billie Holiday is someone who's inspired me a lot. There's some tributes to Nina Simone on here. And then women who, you know, are very much alive, who are also pioneers of this time and who inspire me and with whom I've been so fortunate to collaborate.
You start off with Florence Price, and a piece that you chose to represent her is called Memory Mist. How did you select that work?
So I have been fortunate over the last year or so to have gotten to know a musicologist named Michael Cooper, who invited me down to Southwestern University in Texas about a year and a half ago. And I think largely on the strength of my Florence Price recording, he's someone who's just really interested in her work. And we started talking about, you know, the possible scope of her work because, you know, there's so much music that hasn't been investigated yet. So he spent this year going into the archives at the University of Arkansas and editing a lot of the music. And this is one of the pieces that he found. And it's lovely. It's just kind of sort of a perfect album opener, I think. But it also, the title had meaning for me, this kind of memory mist, to look back and contemplate the legacy and the gifts of the past. I thought it was a nice way to start.
Now, I believe I heard you also say that one of your next projects is going to be a CD filled with the works of Florence Price. Is that right?
Yes, I was just sitting here this morning trying to write an artist statement about that. It's all of these world premiere recordings of music that's just been discovered, and focusing on her, the inspiration that she took from the African-American spiritual tradition. So it's really a very distinct sound and concept, and something that's, it has a lot of meaning to me. And I think just a really beautiful sort of window into her life and work.
And what is the project you're working on with Clarice Assad?
So that's in very early stages, but it has to do with climate change and evolution and the way that the world changes, past, present, and future. Big ideas we're trying to sort of focus in, but I'm so excited to work with her. We've been, you know, we've started working together in the context of this project. There's a piece of hers that I recorded on Holes in the Sky. She's such a fantastic human, and the music, it just feels really right to me, and I think we're going to make something pretty spectacular together.
You are not afraid to just dive in into the tough subjects, are you?
I'm really not, and I get so obsessive, but it keeps me so happy. And it's so funny, too. You know, I never realize, except in hindsight, how one project leads me to another. But that's starting to clarify itself for me, and I feel so fortunate. I really do seem to have this way where there's something that I learn, I think, from each project that takes me very naturally and organically into the next. And it's been a really, really lovely path to walk these last few years.
Well, and you seem to get support for each of those projects, too, which is not easy for a lot of artists.
Yeah, I think they resonate in an emotional way, it seems. And I don't know. I also, I really love to communicate about them. And, you know, the music itself tells stories. That's one of my main objectives. And then I like to support the music by, you know, telling its story. So, yeah, I've developed a community, I think, and I'm so grateful for that. It is a changing world that we're living in as musicians and artists, and just navigating it, it's an interesting time.
There's a wonderful story behind you and Judy Collins, who also appears on this recording. You grew up listening to her music, and then you were brave enough to just send her an email out of the blue and say, hey, you want to be on my new recording with me? Tell me that story.
Brave slash crazy. Yeah, you know, I did. Judy's face is a face that I know very well from the covers of records in my parents' album collection, and I grew up with that music, and I don't know, it felt like that music influenced my parents and their friends so much, was so essential to that generation. So when I was thinking about all of the different narratives, all the different histories of women that I wanted to pull into this project, that was certainly one of them. You know, this generation of women, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, Joni Mitchell, who were singer-songwriters who really, I mean, I feel like they had this very strong female presence within that folk music scene in the 60s, and also the activism that came with it, you know, actually taking that music to the streets and really being so involved and so committed to the social movements of their time. That was just really important. And I knew, you know, I knew that Judy had started her life as a classical pianist. I felt like there were some obvious connections. So I did. I just, you know, cold called. I wrote a letter, and I described the project. I described the vision behind it, and, you know, why it would be so meaningful to me to have her involved. And I didn't hear back for quite some time, several months. And then I did. And wow, it was just such a lesson, such a life lesson to go into the studio with her, because I remember sitting there and watching her and thinking how many times we recorded Albatross, which is a song she wrote in 1967. It's one of the first original songs she wrote. So, you know, do the math. How many times has she sung this song? And just watching her, you know, come into that studio with a new collaborator, with a new arrangement, with a new idea, with an open mind, and reinvent, reimagine this song that had belonged to her for so many decades. And I just thought, this is something I need to keep inside me. And, you know, in a long life as a musician, this is something so essential, so beautiful to experience.
The lady comes to the gate, dressed in lavender and leather, looking north to the sea. She finds the weather fine.
What is the inspiration behind Albatross? Isn't there a connection to Joan Baez?
Yeah, you know, they were close friends, of course, back then. And she sat down with me on the piano bench. Judy sat down with me on the bench in the studio and told me that she'd written the song after a visit with Joan at her house in Carmel. And it was, there was some sort of, you know, emotional turmoil that was happening, and this was her response. And then she told me that she's not sure that Joan even knows this, that they'd never talked about it. But that was, you know, the genesis of the song for her.
What was that like to be sitting on the piano bench next to Judy Collins?
You know, these things are so weird. Somebody goes so quickly. I mean, in a matter of minutes, an icon, a legend, just transforms into a fellow musician sometimes, if you're lucky, you know? And it was an interaction like that. There was just such a generosity of spirit and, again, this feeling of openness. And so, you know, I was terrified, right? I was terrified before she showed up. And then we were just colleagues and working hard to make something beautiful together. And, you know, we've been working together since. We've had a couple of occasions to perform together and more coming up next year. And it feels a bit like family now, you know, like just someone who I look up to so much in so many ways, and to see the kind of flow that there can be between generations and between artists, it's very inspiring. It helps me in, you know, my thoughts about paying things forward and, you know, mentoring and supporting the next generation.
Did you have a similar relationship with Joni Mitchell's music growing up?
Not so much. I think that my parents were more Joan and Judy. Yeah. So, you know, my sisters and I played those records a lot. But so it's the Joan Baez and the Judy Collins records that I remember the most. And, you know, there's a really funny thing that happened when I put out the America Again album in 2016. And we were talking about cover art. And I just had this really vague concept in my head, and it had something to do with the 60s and, you know, activism and sort of this natural look. And I was describing it with words like golden light and, you know, I just want glow. And so I went out and did this photo shoot on a country road at golden hour on a summer afternoon. And we put together the album cover. And then when the record came out, so many people said, oh, you know what? This looks just like that Judy Collins record. And I didn't know which one they meant. And it turned out, if you look at these two albums side by side, the cover of my record looks so much like the cover of Wildflowers, which was one of her early albums, which was her first recording of Albatross. So that was a weird, surreal moment when I realized that.
Did she happen to notice that?
Yeah, I actually brought her a copy. I brought her a copy into the studio. We both had a moment of shock about that. It's quite astounding. It's worth looking at them side by side.
Well, Joni Mitchell does appear on this recording, her music anyway. How did you choose the piece called Favorite Color?
It's a little known song. In fact, I'm not sure if she ever recorded it on a commercial recording. There's a recording that I found on YouTube. But the text of the song is about, it's a civil rights song. It's about, you know, diversity and the beauty of different colors of faces. And so that spoke to me. And I really love this arrangement that we came up with. It's arranged by Nora Kroll Rosenbaum, who's a composer living in LA, and kind of takes the, you know, that guitar sound of the original song and really translates it into a very rich and, yeah, colorful piano piece.
There are a number of contemporary women composers from the world of classical music who appear on this recording. A Libby Larson piece and Rachel Barton Pine makes a guest appearance.
Yes, and Rachel and I have been friends and colleagues for years now. And, you know, she's also been so committed to sharing music by women, music by composers of color. She's just been a tremendous advocate for diversity and inclusion in classical music. And I respect that so much and appreciate it so much. So it felt very right to involve her on this recording. Also, she's just, you know, a tough woman and someone who has really, I think, impacted the world of music in a very courageous way. So we got together in Chicago and recorded this piece of Libby's, and we had, you know, just a quick session, and I think we both felt the piece in a very profound way.
Just for a thrill, you change the sunshine to rain.
Women in the Great American Songbook, you make it a point to bring out a few of them in this collection because they've been overlooked. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking in particular about Lil Hardin Armstrong. This is a story I didn't know.
Right. Most people don't.
Would you share it?
So, you know, the song, Just for a Thrill, I think if you ask 99% of people, you know, whose song is it, they'll say Ray Charles, right? And this song was written by Lil Hardin Armstrong, who was married to Louis Armstrong. And it's, you know, such an iconic song. And what's really interesting about this performance is that my collaborator on this track is Alicia Hall Moran, who's also married to a very prominent jazz musician, Jason Moran. So I think she had some insights, you know, about the experience of being an artist and being in a musician partnership like that. Such a great song, and that recording session was just kind of thrilling. Alicia went deep with the song. It's really, I think, kind of an iconic performance in itself.
Just for a thrill.
But yes, you know, the women who were writing these Great American Songbook songs, I feel like these are stories that need to be uncovered and shared.
I thought it was kind of special to see Gila Plitman on this recording.
Yeah, such an extraordinary voice.
Oh, I'm sad for never knowing courage. And I'm sad.
And again, just such a creative and free and, I keep using the word courageous, I have to find another word, but really such an extraordinary artist. And we know each other from Los Angeles, and I heard this song of Eve Baglarian's called Farther From the Heart. It's set to a poem by Jane Bowles, who was married to Paul Bowles. That wasn't an extremely happy situation, I think. But the poem is fairly discontented. It's kind of a tragic poem about some of the challenging pieces of the female experience.
And I lean on anyone's shoulder because
to do with loneliness and, you know, feeling unfulfilled, but it's beautiful, and the way that Eve has said it is so beautiful. And when I heard Eve's demo, I just started hearing Gila's voice in my head, knowing what she does with text, you know, and how profoundly she can express the emotions within a song. It was, you know, this was something that happened a few times. I think that there were some really incredible moments of just trust in these sessions. And coming into the session, I'm not sure that Hila knew exactly what she wanted to do with the song. And so we teased it out together. And really, these things just happen so spontaneously in the moment.
I think that my end must be near.
Another session like that was the session with Rhiannon Giddens. We recorded this Margaret Bond song, one of the three songs that she set to Langston Hughes' text, Dream Variation. And, you know, we met. That was a session that took place in North Carolina. Rhiannon and I, we've been working together for a while, but there too, we just kind of threw down and tried out a bunch of different things with the song. And what ended up happening, the song is written as a soprano art song. And, you know, Rhiannon has all these different voices she can use. She's extraordinary that way. And so we did a few takes, sort of a straight ahead classical interpretation. And I said, what would happen if we just put the song down an octave and you use, that other voice of yours?
To fling my arms wide in some place in the sun, to whirl and to dance till the white day is done.
And so we did that, and it turns the song into something very unexpected and very special, much more of a vernacular kind of a sound. So I think that just having these opportunities to tap into friendship and collaboration really yielded some special results.
Ifa Tayoali Landing is a pretty incredible young cellist from Chicago, and in fact is a young artist with Performance Today here. She was just in town recently.
Right, I saw that.
And you've got her on this recording along with the Girls of Musicality. Tell me about this collaboration.
So Ifa Tayo is somebody I know through the Sphinx organization, and she's such a phenomenal young cellist, and she's just an incredible young person as well. She's going to go very far, very fast, I think. And I wanted to, part of this legacy, part of this lineage is not just looking back, but also looking forward. So I wanted to make sure to include some very young women on this album. And this is the final track on the record. It's All the Pretty Little Horses, which is a lullaby that my mom sang to me when I was a baby. To bring in some young voices, some young artists. So Ifa Tayo, she grew up in Chicago, and Musicality is a teen vocal group in Chicago, which, started sort of as an after-school program and has just accomplished incredible things training young voices. So the girls came into the studio with me and another beautiful arrangement, which I co-wrote with Laura Karpman, and also, just so much spontaneity and something totally different ended up coming out of that track than I think we had originally planned. But I think it's just gorgeous and very dreamlike. And those young voices and Ifa Tayo's cello playing, I hope that this lulls many, many babies to sleep.
There's another lullaby on this recording, and it's sung in Spanish. And I know it was very important to you to include a song sung in Spanish. Would you talk about that song and that recording session of that piece?
Yes, it was. The moment when this recording was coming together was a charged one politically, and there were a lot of things happening that, had to do with Spanish speakers and their place in our country. And I wanted to acknowledge the importance of welcoming newcomers here. And Magos Herrera, who sings this song, is an absolutely spectacular Mexican jazz singer. I had heard her work. She has this incredible, deep, dark voice.
Arro, Romina.
And we started talking about a lullaby. And I just started doing some basic research about Spanish lullabies, and I came up with this one. It's called Arroro Mi Niño. And she said, kind of like, ew, no. You know, it was sort of as if I had suggested Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It's this very, very well-known lullaby. And she just thought, you know, no, too much, too well-known, kind of a cliche. And I said, but let me work with it. And, you know, because I was coming to it, I think, without as much familiarity, I just kind of took it apart and created this jazz arrangement. And we went into the studio, and she was very taken with it. And I mean, what she did with it, as you'll hear, is just phenomenal, so beautiful. So it's kind of like a love song and a lullaby all in one. Esta niña linda que nació de noche. Quiere que la lleven a pasear en coche. So we did a take, and then we turned to the booth because there was silence. You know, nobody said great or let's try that again or anything. There was just absolute silence, and we turned around, and the engineer and the producer were both just standing there with their mouths open, you know. It was one of those moments of perfection. And you know, a lot of these collaborations that were born on this album are continuing, so that's another really exciting thing, because there are projects spinning out of this one and new friendships and collaborations that will continue on for the foreseeable future.
There's a world premiere by Jennifer Higdon, Notes of Gratitude. Tell me about this work.
Right. So if we're talking about American female composers, you know, Jennifer is certainly in the forefront and probably one of the most performed American composers living today, and also one of my favorite people. And I really wanted to try to include a work of hers. And this is a work that hasn't been recorded before. So she sent it to me and I loved it.
This is a really, I don't know, it features some unconventional harmonies and some percussive plucking. Are you also having to play the strings inside the instrument? Is that how that sound's being created?
No, it's just, so you reach in with, you know, the left hand and stop the string while playing the keys.
So that's easy to do while you're playing.
Yeah, right. It involves colored tape so you can see exactly where that string is, because you've got to get there fast. And then it kind of expands into this very lush piano writing. It is a departure from the rest of the album. So I wondered about that. I wondered how it would fit in. And actually, I think it really creates a fascinating kind of arc. It takes us a little bit out of the, you know, the comfort zone, but just seems to kind of add a dimension that's really interesting. I love this piece. It really shows so much of all of the incredible things that she knows how to do with really every instrument. She's quite extraordinary. And also, I love the title here too. It's, you know, I have so much gratitude for all of the artists on the album, and, you know, also for this history that makes this album possible. All of the stories that and lives that women have led in order to give us this music.
The new recording, Holes in the Sky, with Laura Downs. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Amacher.